Will Cirrus Perspective displace Avidyne's Integra? A supersonic freefall is delayed by balloon trouble, and major U.S. airlines employ fewer pilots than 7 years ago. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Wednesday, May 28, 2008. It's a question lots of people in the industry have asked in the last week. Now that Cirrus Design offers a Garmin G1000-based avionics suite as an option on the SR22 G3, are Avidyne's days numbered as a Cirrus OEM supplier? As ANN reported, the Cirrus Perspective offers synthetic vision and a fully integrated autopilot not available on the Avidyne Integra, which has been the primary avionics package for all Cirrus aircraft since 2003. Avidyne says it remains a Cirrus partner and cites comments made by Cirrus CEO Alan Klapmeyer during the introduction of the Cirrus Perspective at eBase. Klapmeyer said Avidyne is still considered the standard on Cirrus planes. Avidyne says Integra also has definite advantages over Perspective. Many pilots consider the Integra easier to use. It's 42 pounds lighter and $48,000 cheaper, which is significant even to buyers of a $500,000 airplane. Avidyne has moved aggressively into the retrofit market as the number of manufacturers offering Integra as factory equipment has declined. But the company wants to assure the 4,000 current Cirrus owners flying its system that it remains committed to helping them maintain the value of their aircraft. Mikel Fournier's latest attempt to set three new world freefall records has suffered another setback. On Tuesday morning, the French skydiver's 295-foot-tall balloon decided to take flight on its own, somehow breaking free from its ties to the ground and ascending into the sky without him. Fournier had hoped to ascend from North Battleford, Saskatchewan, to 132,000 feet, then perform a supersonic freefall before opening his parachute at 3,000 feet. So far, balloons have been Fournier's nemesis. His attempts at the stunt in 2002 and 2003 both ended when strong winds tore his balloon apart before liftoff. Fournier's team reportedly has a backup balloon in Saskatchewan, but there's no word yet on whether the 64-year-old former French paratrooper will try again this week. The U.S. Department of Transportation announced on Tuesday that while overall employment at U.S. airlines is at an all-time high, 4% fewer pilots and 32% fewer maintenance workers had jobs in 2007 than in 2000. The decline is most dramatic at the biggest carriers. DOT's Bureau of Transportation Statistics reports the seven large network carriers employed 29.9% fewer pilots and 42.6% fewer maintenance workers in 2007 than in 2000. The six low-cost carriers now operating employed 24.2% more pilots and 2.1% more maintenance workers over that same period, just the opposite of the network carriers. United had the largest reduction in pilots of any network airline, while Alaska Airlines was the only one to actually add pilots. Northwest had the largest reduction in maintenance workers among the network carriers. Alaska and Continental Airlines were the only ones to add maintenance positions. Not surprisingly, spending by network airlines for outsourced maintenance increased from 29.6% of total maintenance spending in 2000 to 45.3% in 2007. This really is big news. How often do you hear us report that the FAA is acting quickly on criticism from its controllers union and the union saying good things about the FAA for the quick action? Controllers at Newark Liberty International Airport complained of inadequate publication and awareness of new procedures instituted in December that were supposed to ease congestion at Newark and other New York metro airports. The National Air Traffic Controllers Association charged that pilots were confused when published procedures call for left-turning departures to the southwest from Newark Liberty, but controllers are now authorized to assign right-turn departures. FAA spokesman Jim Peters said, quote, "We looked at it and took action," unquote. He declined to elaborate. NATCA celebrated the FAA's decision, which came the same day the Record reported the story. Ed Kraft, president of the Newark chapter of NATCA, reacted, quote, "Only yesterday they said they weren't going to publish anything until they were finished with the airspace redesign. That could have taken years. That's insane," unquote. The FAA will send a notice to airmen outlining new flight patterns on June 5th. Then, July 31st, the agency will publish the chart for the procedures that pilots will use to update either their printed binders or electronic flight bags. Up next on ANN, Galois predicts a better year ahead for EADS. Oil prices are on everyone's mind at Berlin this week. And NATA brings the flight release to general aviation. You're listening to Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. For 3 years running, the Cirrus SR-22 G2 has been the world's best-selling single-engine four-seat airplane. Today, the SR-22 G2 defines the new Cirrus standard model. Why? We'd love to invite you to see for yourself by taking a ride in the new breed of airplane that has taken the aviation industry by storm. To learn more, call 888-750-9927 or on the web at cirrusdesign.com. Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. For instance, the noise-canceling microphone used in the Clarity Aloft headset is a high-fidelity, noise-canceling electret condenser microphone with performance optimized for speech frequencies in extremely high-noise environments. Stage performers and musicians use this same microphone because they must insist on the highest level of sound reproduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for May 28, 2008. On the web, you can find us at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. EADS CEO Louis Galois has been asked some tough questions lately about his company's financial performance, corporate restructuring, project delays, and outlook going forward. Reuters reports the company's stock has fallen 32% this year, underperforming French blue chips by 23% and lagging Boeing by 27%. In casting blame on Monday, Galois threw his company's airliner division under the proverbial Airbus. He told investors the company is suffering from delays in the A380 and A400M programs, and the airlines who buy the planes are battling soaring fuel costs and tight credit. Airbus chief Tom Enders spoke from the Berlin Air Show, adding, quote, "There really are some dark clouds on the horizon for air travel," unquote. Galois predicted that despite the gloomy talk in the markets, EADS will be in a position to increase its shareholder dividend next year. In newspaper interviews over the weekend, he made a uniquely European suggestion for more government subsidy of the aerospace industry. As the public outcry over fuel prices has risen along with the prices themselves, economists have smiled and reminded us that without high oil prices, there will be no incentive to embrace alternatives. Well, it now appears we may be reaching that point. At the International Berlin Air Show this week, the Associated Press reports the global aerospace industry will be focusing on improved efficiency and developments in alternative fuels. Examples include the recently announced collaboration between Airbus and Honeywell on biofuel for airliners, and Airbus's new composite galley for the A380, which the company claims can cut literally a ton of weight from the plane. Among the air shows, industry functions, and commemoration of the Berlin Airlift's 60th anniversary, the real gorilla in the room is the price of oil, which hit $135 U.S. per barrel Thursday before retreating. Some analysts are predicting oil is just catching its breath before challenging the $200 level. AP reports this incentive is leading the industry to look toward producing lighter, more efficient machinery and alternative fuels, and prompting airports to streamline operations and reduce bottlenecks. Bob Mann, the president of R.W. Mann & Company, an airline analysis company based in Port Washington, New York, has apparently done the math. Quote, "We estimate that at current fuel prices, it would require a 20% increase in revenue, accompanied by a 20% reduction in capacity for U.S. airlines, to generate economic returns. What the industry really, really needs is a ubiquitous narrow-body design that will improve short- to medium-haul travel economics by 20% or more. That is, so far at least, elusive," unquote. Regarding alternative fuels, David Kaminsky-Morrow, an editor with the trade magazine Air Transport Intelligence in London, commented, quote, "This is something that we'll see in the longer term. It's not a simple exercise to take kerosene out and put something like sunflower oil or whatever in," unquote. The Berlin Air Show, which is officially called Aerospace Exhibition and Conferences, is held every other year. It opened on Tuesday and runs through Sunday at Berlin's Schönefeld Airport. Friday is the only day open to the public. This year's event is devoted an entire section to mark the 60th anniversary of the start of the Berlin Airlift, including two DC-3s. the aircraft which came to be known as Candy Bombers. Veterans of the airlift from the U.S. and Britain are expected to attend. The National Air Transportation Association tells ANN it will release its IC-Check flight release system for professionally flown general aviation operations at the 2008 NATA Air Charter Summit June 10th. Borrowing from the flight releases common for decades in Part 121, IC-Check is an online application which will be available on a per-tail subscription basis. NATA President James Coyne notes, quote, "After 3 years of development and testing, professionally flown general aviation aircraft operators now have a cost-effective and easy way to confirm and track compliance on a flight-by-flight basis. We're very excited about the potential IC-Check holds for improving the safety, security, efficiency, and market advantage of the progressive operators who are already using the program," unquote. The IC stands for In Compliance. The software is similar in concept to the interfaces common in online banking. Once initially configured for an operator, the process typically takes 2 minutes of data entry per flight, and much of that is automated, thanks to integration with several common industry software packages. The results come back instantaneously. Before each flight, IC-Check will apply up to 300 algorithms to individual flight data to confirm compliance with all applicable government regulations and with company, customer, industry, and insurance standards, and confirm that the flight will meet legal requirements regarding crew, passengers, aircraft, and flight parameters. IC-Check uses NOAA's weather data feed to record conditions at the origin of the flight, destination, and en route. FAA flight tracking data is attached to individual flight records to prove compliance, and an audit trail is created to speed answering any subsequent questions about compliance. NATA points out that last fall's revocation of TAG AMI's Part 135 certificate and the associated $10 million fine were based on 59 FAA charges of noncompliance with federal regulations. Of those charges, NATA says more than two-thirds could have been addressed to some degree by the use of IC-Check. You know, at Aero News, we're not beyond looking for aviation stories with humorous angles, especially for use as the kicker story that often closes this AeroCast. Sometimes we really have to dig for them. Other times, inspiration just spills off the fax machine. Just when hundreds of thousands of stranded airline passengers wondered if there was any way to hold the FAA accountable for all those missed weddings and scrapped vacations caused by airliner groundings, it turns out the FAA has already been given an annual award for accountability excellence. For the fourth time in 5 years, the Association of Government Accountants bestowed one of its top honors on the agency for its 2007 Performance and Accountability Report. The Certificate of Excellence in Accountability Reporting, or CEAR, is the group's, quote, "highest form of recognition in federal government management reporting," unquote. Well, quicker than you can say damned with faint praise, FAA Acting Administrator Robert Sturgill has responded, quote, "The bottom line begins and ends with accountability. As public servants, we're holding ourselves to a higher standard. We made a commitment to manage the taxpayers' investment. The CEAR Award is a confirmation that we're taking care of business," unquote. All right, fair is fair. As you might gather, this award has nothing to do with answering for decisions. It's all about the FAA's 2007 internal report on how it handled its own performance, management, and financial direction in meeting strategic goals of a safer and more efficient global airspace system. Accountability, of course, means something completely different to 300,000 American Airlines passengers who had booked flights in April. For them, FAA accountability would likely involve, at the very least, a blindfold, a rope, and a tall tree. Still ahead, NASA scores a first with Sunday's Phoenix landing on Mars. Pilatus delivers the first customer PC-12NG. And be careful if your toys can reach the flight levels. You're listening to Aero News.
Remember what the future used to look like? The flying cars, the spaceports, the rocket packs and spandex outfits? That was some future, wasn't it? But hey, here's the real future. A Garmin Wass Navigator. It makes its own glide path out of GPS signals, so you can land IFR at thousands of airports with no ILS or other ground-based approach aids. Now that's a future you can believe in. Garmin Wass GPS. Follow the leader.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Wednesday, May 28, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. A widely publicized FAA case against Southwest Aviation Specialties of Tulsa, Oklahoma, appears to be winding down. The FAA had revoked the company's repair station certificate, air charter certificate, and the mechanic certificate of owner David Guzman on March 17th after allegations the company did repair work on aircraft instruments and parts without authorization back in 2006. Now, the Tulsa World reports Southwest Aviation Specialties is back in business after settling the case on April 12th. The company's charter certificate awaits restoration pending training and submission of a procedural manual. All along, Guzman had denied wrongdoing and blamed an overzealous FAA inspector and disgruntled former employees for what he maintained were baseless charges. Fighting the charges has cost him a reported $50,000, and the Department of Defense still isn't done with him. They have their own investigation going on. It was triggered by the shop's work repairing instruments that are used in military aircraft. Guzman tells the paper he's confident the investigation will lead to a finding of no wrongdoing on his part. In addition to everything else that went right for NASA's Phoenix Mars lander on Sunday, NASA now has a photo taken from orbit that shows Phoenix hanging from its parachute moments before touchdown. The image, which comes from the high-resolution imaging science experiment on NASA's Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter, marks the first time ever one spacecraft has photographed another one in the act of landing on Mars. Scientists are also poring over initial images from Phoenix itself, the first ever taken from the surface of Mars' polar regions. Phoenix principal investigator Peter Smith of the University of Arizona at Tucson remarked, quote, "We can see cracks in the troughs that make us think the ice is still modifying the surface. We see fresh cracks. Cracks can't be old. They would fill in," unquote. Phoenix reported its systems to be in good health after spending its first night on Mars. Pilatus announced on Tuesday the start of PC-12NG customer deliveries. The company says keys to the first customer plane were recently handed off during a delivery ceremony in Broomfield, Colorado. Thomas Hunziker, president and CEO of Pilatus Business Aircraft Limited, commented, quote, "This important day marks the beginning of a new chapter in the PC-12 success story. Pilatus works hard to deliver best-in-class capability, and we have no doubt the PC-12NG will continue this legacy," unquote. The PC-12NG, as in next generation, features upgrades including Honeywell Primus Apex Avionics, a revised cabin designed by BMW Group Designworks USA, and a more powerful Pratt & Whitney Canada PT-6A engine. And finally, how did you spend your Memorial Day holiday weekend? Somewhere, there's a model rocket enthusiast who would rather not say. The Houston Chronicle reports a Continental Airlines pilot was startled by what he described as a rocket that shot past his cockpit window Monday as Flight 1544 was about 8 miles north of George Bush Intercontinental Airport near Houston, Texas. The FAA is trying to establish a radar history, and the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force is investigating the incident, which happened about 10:30 a.m. Continental Airlines spokeswoman Kelly Cripe said the pilot made no diversionary maneuvers, the plane was not damaged, and nobody was injured. FAA spokesman Roland Herwig says, quote, "We don't know for sure what the object was, but we think it might be somebody doing model rocketing. The pilot saw the rocket, and some people saw the rocket's trail. Building rockets is a legitimate hobby, but hobbyists have to let the FAA know what they're doing," unquote. Robert Moorhead, who is the president of the Amateur Spaceflight Association in Houston, says that's not exactly true. He says the FAA would only need to be notified if a rocket would be entering controlled airspace. He said the only danger to an airliner might be if the rocket is ingested by an engine, and even then, it might not cause serious damage. He adds that getting a model rocket up into the flight levels nowadays is, quote, "not rocket science if you use a kit. There's a guy who claims his rocket has reached the threshold of space or 75 miles. There are lots of models that could fly as high as an airliner," unquote. FAA's Laura Brown says that so far, no plane has been hit by a launched model rocket. Quote, "There are model rocket clubs operating around the country. This was a holiday weekend that would be good for a launch," unquote. And you know what? The next 90 days or so would be a really good time to stay home with your Estes motors hidden under the bed. And that's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we'll dip into the Aero TV archives to let you hear about two technological innovations available for general aviation aircraft. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our AeroCasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.